Where's the sound?
Morning, everybody.
Oh, there's the sound. Good morning, Rabbi Sher.
Okay. Top. So we started yesterday a little bit dealing with the sugya of Ishtadlus. We didn't get very far in the sefer. We spoke at more of that the Chovis Lavavos. We dealt with some questions. Baruch's question is left to come back to. That's really a question about real ideal process. Baruch's question, we have to fit it into the sugya and see how that resonates with the sugya. Some people disappeared. Yeah, what happened? I didn't connect anybody, did I? We saw by the vote that he's trying to that he put on the plate here that we're gonna have to grapple with is the if the Ishtadlus doesn't do anything, so then why is it Muchrach? Then what is Ishtadlus? The law doesn't do anything for the thing you're trying to attain. In other words, you may need Ishtadlus for Panasa, but the Ishtadlus doesn't do anything for Panasa. However hard it is to accept it, you have to accept it for now, because that's the matrix we're working with, is the Ishtadlus doesn't do anything. So then why am I making Ishtadlus? Because the Ishtadlus does do something, but not in the area that you think it does anything. For sure, it doesn't do nothing. It does something, although not to attain what you're trying to attain. We saw that the peasant, he stole the envelope, he would have got it anyway. Just let me see where we got up to. Oh yeah, okay. So he brings a story. Yeah, I think we got up to Yakuf Tzadik base there, by the where it says about Shem Tov HaKadosh. It says like this: "Avol Shem Tov HaKodesh Hayo Ivedes Hashem Betoich Betochen Mushlam Uvederech Zu Hilimedes Talmidov." Obviously, the Avol Shem Tov was he lived with Betochen, yeah, and he taught his Talmidim. "B'meshach Kol Yemaychay Uigdish Lekach Shos Alavoy Da'atzmis V'alkach Udibe V'Shulchanoysav HaKadoshim." He worked. Obviously, you work on this. The Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, no one bigger than him. He used to go into the forest for hours. He used to go work on Betochen. He was working on Betochen, you know, working on Betochen. What was he working on? Yeah, it's not easy. So Ma'aseh Bechosid mitalmidov or mitalmidei talmidov sherotzin esol rabbi. Lom yoyam mos metzuas bekisvei ma'osol mitpalel kodesh baruch shilach leesoy tzach derech. The talmid, he wanted to go visit his rebbe, but he didn't have money for the journey. So what did he do? He davened to Hashem that he should send him away to go on the derech. Whenever he needed something, the next stage of the journey, he would daven, he would get it. He saw a coin lying in the ground in the mud there. He didn't pick it up. He turned to Hashem and he said, "Ribbono shel olam," you know the Hasidish story, but you know it's Hasidish, because he was alone and we know what happened. The all Hasidish story. The guy was alone and we know what happened. How do we know what happened if he was alone? Anyway, but that's the story. This story is told in many different surot. I don't know, with the Baal Shem Tov, not the Baal Shem Tov, with the Hasid, he was the Nitzvak. I've heard the story in many different surot. The message is the message more than the story. Call it a moshel if you want. Anyway, they say it's a story. It happened. He thinks he's Choni Amagel, this guy. Yeah, he wants a coin that's clean. Why do I have to bend down and pick up a dirty coin? You can't give me a clean coin. So he left it there. He was such a high level of betochen that he understood that to dirty his hands in to dig this coin out of the mud there, too much ishtadlus, according to his madrega. It also is all discussion about, sorry, if you're a high madrega, sometimes you have to make moishtad. I'm not going into that now. You will deal with it. ומתוך מחשבה זו הוא האמין ובטח בשם ישלח לו אסמו ויקשו ונכנס לבית המדרש למועד. השם will give me what I want. I don't have to start bending down and picking up pots from the dirt. So he went to the Bessamidra to learn. Shaka lachem ikain, over sham yudi ashi, veroi samad bayer monochos bobot. A rich guy came past late and he saw the coin in the mud. Warima, kinaychoto, meabot, shinadako. Umachavan shaloya, and it's tarich lo, hichlit letet oisalechen oyeshu Bessamidra. He cleaned it, made it nice and shiny, and he decided since he doesn't need it, when he gets to the Beis Midrash, he'll give it to one of the guys sitting in the Beis Midrash there. Shekinas pnima yivchid miyad b'chosid an iskalil, and niga shalav natena samad ba. He walked to the Beis Midrash, he saw this chosid sitting there, made an impression, saw him sitting there learning, he went to him and he gave him the coin. Kiyiko, you see over there, is the chokwe. He knew who he was, he understood how serious his situation was. Shala chosid, ma beizi ma'ichen yegi alecho. Where did you wear this coin? How did you find it? Where did you get this coin? Sipaloshi shet midbeir who matzabobot. He found this this coin. He found this coin there in the mud. Rekiven shenizbarach ba oisha. Since he's been blessed with wealth, when he's zokuk la midbeir, he let let he doesn't need it. He decided he's going to give it to Tzoka. Misupuze. From this story, you see that Ishtadus doesn't do anything. Okay. Person can have tochen in Hashem Mushlam, and but then we still have to find out why we're making Ishtadus. Really, many stories from your own life, you'll see many stories. Where you see that the Ishtadlis is not what brings you the end result. You know, there's a similar story they tell by the by Nevada. Okay, you wanted to go somewhere. You wanted to go to Nevada. Lozoche people where you wanted to go. But also you didn't have money. I just think I'm gonna mess up the story now. What happened? How did he land up in Brisk? When I get the story clear in my head again, I'll tell it. I don't want to mess up the story. The story, especially if it's involved, would it be accurate? When it's relevant, I'll tell you again. If I don't remember now, it's obviously not relevant now. Okay, fine. So we have two subjects here. Let's put aside the one subject that's really bothering us and that's really difficult for us, and that is that the Ishtadlis ain't a moil. The Ishtadlis doesn't do anything. Put that aside because it's going to get in the way. Put it aside, we'll deal with it. What we want to focus on now is this, why do I have to make Ishtadlis? That's the real question. That question we need to get an answer to, and there's many different approaches to this subject. Everybody agrees the Ishtadlis doesn't do anything. The question is, so why am I making Ishtadlis? So we'll see here's a mahalach here. And we'll try and look at some of the others as well. Im kein adayin ashad v'mokayim esomedes. Im ha-kodesh boruch hu manyen shenasa avoyde lelo tachlis. Hashem wants us to do things that has no purpose in it. Da'anu shenigeye nitreach v'nishtadal amarot she'ein kol to'eles mi'ayinyen. Hashem wants us to toil and battle in something that is no purpose whatsoever. That's avoyde's perach, by the way. Also to even do that. Also to pay somebody to do something that has no purpose. You can't pay somebody to empty sand from the beach into the sea. You know, unless there's a purpose for that. But it's an issa d'oraisa. You hire somebody, you pay them well. You pay them well and he's happy to do it. To pour sand into the sea. It's also, it's an issa d'oraisa. You're not allowed to do that. There's no toilus of that. There's no purpose. It's soul destroying for a person to do something that has no purpose whatsoever. So what's going on here? All right, Tanish Lahitiv Lanu Batachlis Hatova, with him can a lane lis yase bishtadlis liminayen, Rabbein Kachu Ben Kach Ishtadlis any moil. What does Hashem want us to toil and battle? He only wants what's good for us. He loves us, he cares for us. So why is he giving us work to do that? At the end of the day, doesn't do anything. Aliba de Emes, Nechalku Bedovaze Gdoili Oilo. This is a Machlaikus already starts in the Rishonim. The Ramban, We have to see the Ramban also in Parshas Bo. The last Ramban, the famous Ramban in Parshas Bo, also answers a little bit of Boris' question yesterday. Maybe we'll look at it. We'll see if we have time. We'll look at that Ramban there. Just to mechazak a certain, the nature teva thing. Okay. So the Ramban holds like this. Shalom v'teich v'kodesh b'ochum b'tochen mole. Reish levatel ishtadlu sami kol v'kol v'afilu im cholo yevakesh m'ashem shiro poel. Vali dresh b'reifi v'sherei ma l'reifi v'beis oisei rotzen Hashem. Okay, also we're turning into a big suya that needs a lot of his bearing. The Ramban holds that a person who has proper betochen in Hashem, he can mevate on the ishtadlus in every area. Even if he's sick, he can ask Hashem to repay him. He doesn't have to go find doctors. Because Mala Reif of a base Oise Rotzen Hashem. What is the doctor doing in the house of an Oise Rotzen Hashem? Umar Khamr Khazal Rirape Rape Mekanchinitin Shus Lorefa Rape, a Chuvi, Adarape. Yano Senes, Hatoira Tira Sias Ishtadlis Ladim Shain Bitcoin Sholom Ridroish Bereifim. The Torah is giving permission to someone to go find a doctor who doesn't have proper betochen. Will a Misha Bitcoin Sholom? Allah Lasso is Ishtadlis Lurfoisa Klal. Someone who's betochen is Sholem, so there's no one alive today that can rely on this, by the way. If you think you're holding here, you're missing the plot completely. And you'll see even the Ramban doesn't hold exactly what he's saying here now. We'll see the Ramban is not so. This is a big machlekas, the Rambam and the Ramban. You'll see that it's not really a machlekas. We discussed this once. We spent a lot of time on this. We'll see. And today, not just got a doctor, you've got to find good doctors. You've got to find the best doctors. You've got to make proper Ishtadlis here. Okay, but that's the Shitas Ramban. Bepashtus. We'll see, it's not so poshut. Well, Bepashtus, that's what he holds. And somebody who's the whole Zayis Metashe, Chen Betchali, Sholem in Hashem is Baruch. That means you're Betochani, Sholem in Hashem. You can't fool yourself. There's no one today that's Shaykh for this. No one's Shaykh for this. We all have to make Ishtadlis in these areas. But you've got to be holding on the right level. That's the Shitas HaRamban. Somebody who's on the level, Betochani, Sholem with Hashem, Potter from Ishtadlis, the Gamre. Bevusan Shabbi Yisrael Selante Dorish Pam Bevei Samidra Shabbatach Bashem Bebetochen Gomo Yukabel Bevadeis Mishaloisa. Rabbi Yisrael Selante once gave a drosha, and he said, for sure, if a person's Betochen is in Hashem is Gomo, he'll for sure get whatever he wants. Veim lo kibel, and if he didn't get it, oh, you see, Shelo Betoch, correct, means your Betochen is not where it's supposed to be. So you don't even have to test this. We're not holding there, okay? I promise you. No, not trying to be nasty. There's no one today that can tie into this. No one can potter themselves from Ishtadlis today. No one. I heard, but I don't know. Once again, this is not me can establish. They said the last people that lived, that could live on that level was the Chazanish and the Leshem. The Chazanish, you know, the Baleshem was Rav Elasher's grandfather, was the Mekubal, not just the Mekubal Ador. He was the Rebbe of the Chofetz Chaim in Kabbalah, Rabbi Elashev's grandfather, Rabbi Shlomo Elashev. So they say they were the two last two people that lived on that level of total betochen in Hashem, that they know my shtadlis, and whatever came, came, whatever came, never came. Today we don't live like that. Today we have some kind of a Yisuchos Vulin situation running through our lives. We make ishtadlis. Okay. So, Rizal said, if you don't get it, then you're not holding. There was a yid there that Mamash took Rav Yisrael Selante seriously. There was a time when people still took Rebbe seriously. He went and he bought a lottery ticket. Yeah, the mega lottery there in America. You know, $1 billion some guy just won in Michigan. You know, $1 billion lottery. That's interesting. For $1, you know, you win $1 billion. Anyway, so Anthony bought the lottery, and he told his wife, that's it. He's not making panos anymore. The store is closed. That's it. He's sitting and learning. So, he'll win the lottery, and he'll have to live on forever. And that's it. He doesn't have to make any more ishtadlis. He's got pochen. Rabbi Yisrael Selante said it. Rabbi Yisrael Selante saw this guy's not making ishtadlis. He's left his business. He asked him, "My yom yomim, what's going to be?" I believe everything the Rav told the other night. I bought the lottery. I have 100% betochen that I'll win the prize. So it's enough. The Shema Dvar Yitzei Lo Rabbi Yisrael Iska. The Rabbi Yisrael said to him, I've got a business deal for you. Edi Yimko Esakatis Le Rabbi Yisrael B'sach Chamishet Alafim Rubel. The Hagrela was for 10,000 rubles, yeah? He said to him, I'll pay you now for that katis 5,000 rubles, yeah? And I'll take the prize. You know, bird in hands worth, you know, two in the bush, as they say, you know. After the prize wins, will get the prize. That's gavaldik. He was masking. He thought, good deal. You see from here that you don't have betochen. Where do you have betochen? In betoach atashi tizkei, for sure that you were sure you're going to win, yeah, and you betochen b'sholem. Keitenich moche katis hasheves achasot alafim ruble b'chamesh alafim. How do you sell something that's worth 10,000 for 5,000? You only discount it if there's a risk. But if you have betochen sholem that you're going to win it, there's no risk. So why would you sell it for 5? This means you don't have betochen. Ein zois ele shebetchene b'shem yisbarach enu sholem ba'ifin ze b'dad lo tizkei b'agrelo. In such a way, you won't win the grill, and you go get a job, you go work. Because who sells a $100 bull for $50 unless he thinks there's a problem with a $100 bull? Yeah, you got $100. Why'd you sell it for $50?
Maybe it was he was supposed to only get that smaller amount.
Maybe he was only supposed to. No, he made a bechira to sell the katis that's worth 10,000 for 5,000. If you had been talking in that, we would say, why would I sell? Why? Think about this yourself. If you are holding something worth $10,000, yeah? And you know, tomorrow you're going to win the prize. You've got full betoch and you're going to win it. Somebody offers it to you for 5. Would you sell it for 5?
But maybe Hashem said that the 10 wasn't good for him.
One second. First of all, we don't have to start a sentence with that. And if your English grammar teacher ever taught you that. And I'll tell you also, no buts. Just, I'm asking you a question. Would you sell, if you're holding the winning ticket in a Hagrela for 10,000 shekels, would you sell it the day before for 5? Just tell me, yes or no?
No.
Okay. No. Oh, that's the bottom line. And if you do sell it, it's because you're not sure that the thing's really worth 10,000.
No, but you trust that Hashem would give it to you if you're supposed to win. But if Hashem decides...
Oh, that's the mistake I wanted. Excellent. That's the mistake I wanted. Hashem will give it to you if you're supposed to win. That's not what the Ramban's saying. The Ramban's saying if you have betochen, you will win. If you have betochen that you'll win, you will win. Not if you're supposed to win, you'll win. No. That's Rashi. The Ramban is saying if you have betochen b'sholem in Hashem, you'll get it. Mod chashuv. That's the mistake you're making in the Ramban. Rashi is, if you're supposed to get it, you'll get it. If you're not supposed to get it, you won't get it. Lo mishane. And whatever you get, that's the best thing, because that's what you're supposed to get. That's not the Ramban. L'chayra. That's the way he's learning the Ramban now. The Ramban is, if you have betochen, sholem betochen, you'll get it. So if you have betochen, sholem, that you're holding the mega million, you know, the 1 billion kartis, you don't discount that for even $1 less. Why should you? And now I'm holding $1 million. How do you know? Because I have betochen sholem. And if I have betochen sholem, the Ramban told me, I'll get it. That would be sholem to say. If you have proper betochen, you'll get it. So if you're prepared to discount it, it means you don't have proper betochen. You doubt the value of the hagrela, because you're not sure you're going to win. So then you don't have proper betochen. So then you can't be sure that you'll win. Yeah?
Can I ask a question?
You don't have to ask permission, just talk. This is
okay. Can we please go back to that coin, the dirty coin case? I'm deeply troubled by the dirty coin case.
Hold on 1 second, guys. I'm sorry. I just have to take something urgent here. I apologize. Just 1 second.
Hey, guys, back me up on this one, all right? You're all too quiet the whole time. I'm always sticking my neck out. I need some support. I need some backup.
You didn't back me up on my point.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Again, Baruch, can we go back to what?
The dirty coin case. It's driving me crazy, right? Because when I was in yeshiva, somebody told me the 614th mitzvah is not to be stupid. And there was that joke about the flood and they come, you know, to get the guy in a raft and he says, no, Shem will provide and whatever. And they come back and or they come in a truck and he says, no, and they come back with a raft. Then he climbs up to the roof in a helicopter. And goes, no, Hashem will say, Hashem will provide. Hashem will take care of me. And then he goes up to Shemayim and Hashem says, what kind of idiot are you? I sent you all this stuff, right? I sent you the truck. I sent you the boat. I sent you the... So the coin's in the mud. What kind of idiot am I? I'm not going to dirty my hands and pick up the coin because I want it, you know, on in a gift wrapping, you know, sparkling clean. I don't get it.
Person has to know for himself what's called valid ishtadlus and what's not called valid ishtadlus. So that's an extreme case. That's what drives you crazy. You shouldn't let these things drive you crazy. They're not, you don't have to be intense about it. You've got a good question. It's a good question. You don't have to go nuts from it. Person has to decide what's called valid ishtadlus for him. And everything above what's called valid ishtadlus, you don't do.
What time is it?
Now, we can't understand the level that this guy was on. This guy was on a level, anachnu lo yecholavim, ma ze adaga ze, yeah? But for him, on his level, whatever that level was, bending down and picking up a muddy coin and going up to clean it was over the level of what's called valid ishtadlus for him. That's the vort. There's a principle here. The case is hard for us to grasp because we don't know what a level of betochen like that looks like. But that for him was I'm sorry, I have my gedorim of what's called valid ishtadlus, and I'm not prepared to do that. Take examples that a bit he'll bring from his grandparents, whatever. Oh, but they're known stories. I have a friend like this also. They had a klal that they wouldn't work after midday on Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, sorry. A klal, they don't work after midday on Erev Shabbos, yeah? So as you're busy locking the shop 3 minutes to 12 on Erev Shabbos, your best client comes in and he wants to order, you know, all his stock for the whole year or whatever. Yeah? But you have a klal that you don't make ishtadlus for panasa after midday on Erev Shabbos. So what do you do? So Prabhu Baal Batochen says, sorry, we closed. Well, I'll take my business somewhere else and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, okay. So because my panasa comes from Hashem, not from my ishtadlus. You see? I have an ikaron. I have a principle. I've worked out what's called valid ishtadlus for me. And I don't do more. Let's make it more real for us on our level. Let's talk a language we can understand. Forget about coins in the box, yeah? I daven shachris every morning, and I stay at shachris till the end. Yeah, that's my klal. Let's say a person's got a klal like that. He davens in the 7 o'clock minyan, it finishes at 8 o'clock, and he doesn't leave before 8 o'clock, no matter what. Yeah, it's an emergency sometimes, but it's 8 o'clock not. And then he sits and he learns mishnas for half an hour, and then he goes to work. Yeah. Somebody phones him up and says, I need to meet you in your office at 8:15 tomorrow. I've got a big deal for you, blah, 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 blah. What do? You tell him, come at 8:45 or 9 o'clock, whatever you normally do, because I'm not closing my Mishnah or my Gemara for, somebody says they can't hear me. People have got a problem hearing me?
I hear the Rebbe loud and clear.
So someone just tell Rabbi Israel that everyone can yummy. So if you can't hear it, maybe he's got a problem. I don't know. Because I look like I'm fine here. Rabbi Israel, you can yummy now? I don't know. Okay, maybe someone just chat Rabbi Israel and just tell him what's going on. Okay, sorry, where were we? So you understand, for me, leaving my fierce itim or my davening or whatever my klalim are to do something that's over and above what I've decided is valid ishtadlus, I don't do that. That also drives you mad? No, that you understand. That's fine. So the him thought, so we can't understand levels like that because for me, bending down and picking up a coin is an only klal ishtadlus, you know. I'm only too happy to bend down and take a gold coin out of the dirt and go wash it and polish it and, you know, scrub it for sure. Because for me, that's not called ishtadlus. But for him, it was too much. He could rather be sitting and learning. You have to make it relevant to you. There's a principle being taught here. All these stories, they're principles. What do I take for myself from the story? Is I'm kovei itim l'toira, I decide how much ishtadlus I'm gonna make, and I don't make more. So I'm finished.
And it's not part of ishtadlus to have small exceptions.
Now you have to know. There's always you're always gonna be challenged with those exceptions. You have to know what are you giving up, what are you not giving up, why are you giving it up? Depends. That's going to be the nisoyim. That's called the nisoyim. That's exactly a nisoyim. Do I make an exception at 12 o'clock on Friday where I don't work after 12 o'clock on Friday? Why would I make an exception? Because you're going to lose money. No one can take away my money. No one can give me money. No one can take away money. They're all finished. Depends where you're holding. Whether you're going to have any sign there. For sure, if somebody needs to go to hospital urgently or whatever, then for sure you make an exception. Because no, someone else will take a note. We have halachas, you know. Yeah, for sure, you have to keep evaluating where you're holding, how you're holding. It's an ongoing process. It's organic. It doesn't stand still. It's not frozen in cement. You know? But there were people that, when they made exceptions, they had to be mashlim. If you had to take from your kriyas itim Torah away in order to do something, you know, then you have to make it up. You have to be mashlim. Once again, the nakudiya is what is for you on your level considered too much ishtadlus. And if it's too much, you don't do it. Why? Because your betochen tells you that it's not going to make any difference. I don't have to. Why would I want to do more ishtadlus? I'm doing as much as I need to, and still finished. I don't need to do more. And then we'll see. We'll have to talk about it. That's Rav Dessler. You have to make sure that you won't have charata afterwards. It's a cheshbon. How much ishtadlus you have to make is a big cheshbon. But once you've made it, yeah, then you live with it, and it's tolo on your betochen at a certain level. This ishtadlus can't be for me because it's. Let's make an even more simple example. What happens if a deal comes across your table while you're supposed to be working? Yeah, but it's a bit dodgy. It's not criminal. It's not like an issa d'oraisa. You know, it's whatever. It's one of those gray area, dodgy deals. Yeah. Now it's out of the realm of your normal ishtadlus. You've decided the way you live your life, a certain ethical, honest, you know, shulchan aruch dika level of ishtadlus that you prepare to make. And this one's like not really that clear. You know that it's us. It's not maybe. Now, so do you do it or not? Well, no. Because that's out of the realm of my ishtadlus. I don't do ishtadlus like that. Because, yeah, but you know how much money you could make? You can't make more money than Hashem decided is going to give you. So now you're back into that challenge. The ishtadlus against the panosa.
All right, thank you. I get it. So my line is just very far from where it should be. That's what I'm getting from this. Okay.
So first of all, there's no shoulds. Your mind is where it is supposed to be. That's where it is. I know that should be. There's no shoulds in this business. Real is real. This is where I am now. And based on where I am now, I have decisions to make. Not, yeah, but I should be there and I should be. No. Should is a trefa word. I get that. Drive that word out of your vocabulary. For yourself and for others. There's no should. There is what is. Then there's an ideal. And I use that as direction finder. So I sort of, you know, set my sights on that very high ideal of, you know, being able to walk past a gold coin in the street and not pick it up because it's too muddy. And be responsible, not be an idiot. You have to be on a level of betochen where you're being responsible. Yeah, that's the goal. Okay, fine. That's the direction finder. But now I'm not there. I'm here and I'm having, you know, day-to-day challenges with gray areas and dodgy deals and yes, and do I answer the phone in the middle of a vad and all sorts of terrible nisoinas going on, right? And vaccines, and does the vaccine work, and doesn't it, and is that a side effect, or is this a shame, you know, yeah, but I should be being able to walk past the gold, no, they're not should, they're my sugar. You are who you are, and you have to be who you are, and be real with that. That's where all avoiders start. The biggest yetzer hara that stops you being over a shame is a should, because then you'll never be you. You have to accept and acknowledge who you are. You choose not to approve of where you are, that's also fine. That might be the impetus to move on. But you have to accept the reality. I'm in Beit Shemesh and I want to go to Yerushalayim. I used to use Bnei Brak as an example, but why anyone would want to go to Bnei Brak today, I don't know. So you're in Beit Shemesh and you want to go to Yerushalayim. And you need to be in Yerushalayim now, because the doctor's appointment is now, but you're still in Beit Shemesh. You can pretend and should as much as you want, but you, however quickly you'll take a helicopter, there's still a certain amount of time that it's going to take to get from where you are to where you want to be. You have to accept the fact that right now I'm in Beit Shemesh. Because if you don't accept the fact in Beit Shemesh and you're busy beating yourself up because you should be in Yerushalayim, you won't think about how you're going to get to Yerushalayim. You'll never get there. You accept the fact, as disappointed as you are, that you're in Beit Shemesh, now you'll start making steps to see how you can, you know, you might walk to the bus, you might hire a taxi, you might hire a helicopter, I don't know, but you'll get your shlaim eventually if you accept that you're in Beit Shemesh. You might decide, listen, it's for fall, I'm not going to go. Okay, also good. But you can't make choices about going out of where you are if you haven't accepted where you are. So I've said that as a warning here many times. We're dealing with an ideal and we're describing the principle. Those principles then have to be taken and applied to my life where I'm holding. And the ideal remains a direction finder. It's a wonderful barometer. Am I getting closer to my goal? Am I getting further away from my goal? Where am I holding? Yeah. Sometimes it's even an inspiration. It's a chizuk. Sometimes it can make you depressed. You have to know how to use those tools. So when we're dealing with a section like betochen, ishtadlus, all these sugyas, we have to learn the principles and then see what applies to me. The Ramban does not apply to me. The Ramban's not shaykh to me. Because I'm not potter from ishtadlus. I have to make ishtadlus because I'm not, my betochen is not sholem. Yeah? Ask the butterflies in my stomach, they'll tell you, you know, Shurs doesn't have betochen. You know, might have betochen, yeah. There's a law there. You have to have betochen, yeah. But you're calm and relaxed no matter what's going on. You know, I'm not calm and relaxed. You might have noticed. You know, I have some level of betochen. But I'm not sholem with my betochen that I can say, no, I have to make ishtad. I'm sholem, I'm fine, everything's good. No? So we'll see. We'll see that. We'll see. According to those that say you do have to make ishtadlus, we'll see how that goes. Okay. I will get rid of the should and get rid of the trying to live the ideal. Because you can't. You have to get in touch with you and see where am I holding, however ever embarrassing and painful and disappointing that real might be. You have to let it sit. Because that's who you are. And you know what? It's very interesting. But Hashem wants you to serve him now as you are. No. Well, Hashem doesn't need me to serve him now because I'm not holding. But when I'm on a little bit of a higher level, then I'll start serving Hashem. No. You have everything you need now to do what you're supposed to do. One of the things you're supposed to do is take some steps in the right direction. Yeah. But in the meantime, where you are now is exactly where you're supposed to be. This is what you've got all the tools you need. Now go do what Hashem wants us to do. But whenever you find yourself shooting, stop. It's a Yetzer Hara. Kulu Yetzer Hara. Whether it's for yourself or your children or everybody else, just stop shooting. If you take that word out of your vocabulary, life becomes much more pleasant, I promise you. You just accept reality the way the reality is. And then you can make choices how you want to deal with it. But if you're not accepting reality, you'll never, ever be able to get anywhere. I hope that's helpful. Okay, got to run. Have a great day. And we'll meet back tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
Thank you very much.
Zagazunt.